Please be seated. Through this week, we have been on a journey. Holy Week has taken us on a journey that began last Sunday with Palm Sunday, and then moved on to the upper room, to that intimate meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, during which he washed their feet, commanding them to love one another as he loves them. And then on from that meal to the anguish of the Garden of Gethsemane, to betrayal, arrest, to being tortured, and on Good Friday, killed on the cross. And Jesus then laid in a borrowed tomb. This morning we continue the story, and we have the women who go to that same tomb to finish what is left undone. They go to complete the anointing of Jesus' body for burial. In all of these actions, as we have journeyed through this Holy Week, I have been struck by, at least one level, all these things are very ordinary. Bread and wine. Hospitality shown by washing feet. Death on the cross of someone who is an enemy of the political rulers. And yet, just beneath the surface of these seemingly ordinary events, there is something deeply profound and life-changing. And this is true in our gospel this morning. At one level, we have this ordinary story. Three women go to a tomb to complete burial ritual for a man that they care for, a man who has been brutally killed. They do what women of their time did. I'm wondering if perhaps they also go hoping to salvage some dignity for Jesus, whom they love, who was brutally killed, hoping to give him a proper burial. And so they buy spices, they set out after sunrise on that first day of the week. And on the way, they're thinking practical things. How is that big stone going to be moved? But when they arrive, things are far from ordinary. The stone is unexpectedly moved. The tomb is open. And when they go inside the tomb, they see a young man in white clothes who says to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Go to Galilee. Tell the others and go to Galilee with them, and there you will see him, just as he told you." These women, setting out to do something ordinary, find anything but the ordinary, and they don't know what to make of it. I'm not surprised. They flee that tomb, seized with terror and amazement, and they say nothing because they are afraid. They said nothing because they are afraid. I don't know about you, but I find that surprising. This is not what I expect to have for a story on Easter morning. How about those angels singing in glory? Where's that appearance of the risen Jesus in dazzling light? How about rejoicing disciples running to the tomb? Is this a story we expect on Easter morning? What kind of story is this, with women fleeing the tomb, terror, amazement, fear, and then silence? It's no wonder that at the end of today's passage, over the years, others have added more verses to Mark's gospel. These verses try to bring the resurrection account into line with what we expect to hear. But those are later additions, and they attempt to explain away this surprise ending, this ending marked by fear and silence. Mark's account of Easter may be surprising, But I think there is something very important in it for us. There is, in fact, an invitation for each of us to put ourselves into this story. There is the invitation to be part of this story, to be part of Easter morning. Since the women in Mark's account are silent, it leaves me the question, what will we do? How will we respond to the news that Jesus is raised from the dead? Will we believe that young man in the tomb and then follow what he says and go out and tell the good news? Will we proclaim Jesus is raised from the dead? Will we tell others that the tomb could not contain him? That in the end, love triumphed over death? Will we go and tell others the good news? I think Mark's account challenges us to take up the story ourselves, to pick up where the women left off, to embrace the call of Jesus to discipleship, to walk the way that Jesus trod, to look for the appearance of the risen Jesus as we journey along the way. This means we are called to be alert, to be open, to expect to encounter the risen Jesus present with us. This gospel calls us to be witnesses, to witness to all that we have seen and heard, to tell others how Jesus was put to death on the cross for the crime of loving, and how he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and how on the third day God raised him to resurrection life. We must tell others how the love of God is stronger than the hold of the tomb, stronger than the power of death. The evil forces of this world could not defeat the love of God, made known in Jesus through the power of the resurrection. The victory of Jesus over the powers of sin and death also means, however, that we still face challenges and suffering in this life. It does not take those away. Like those women, there are times that we are fearful, maybe afraid. There are times that we do not understand, when we are confused. And there are even times when we might be dispirited. There are times when we don't feel joyful. Maybe times when we don't quite feel like it is Easter. But thanks be to God, Easter is not a feeling. Easter is not about feelings or externals. It's not about the other parts of our celebration, as nice as those may be. It's not about how we feel this morning. Easter is beyond all that. Easter is beyond our emotions. Easter is so much deeper than that. And in fact, Easter is not just about this morning or even this day. Easter is not something also that's off in the future sometime, maybe when we die. Easter is about a way of life. Easter is about the power of despair and hopelessness being broken forever. Easter is about the power of the love of God strong enough to push back our fears, to open our minds so we understand. Easter is about the defeat of sin and death once for all. And so Easter is about how we live in this moment, on this day, but for the whole of our lives. And at the heart, the resurrection of Jesus assures us God is always faithful. Just as God did not leave Jesus in death, God will not leave us there either. Through the waters of baptism, we die to the old life of sin, and we are raised to eternal life, that resurrection life of Jesus. Though the women were terrified and kept silent that morning, we do not have to be silent. We can look at the evils of this world squarely and not fear. Because Jesus rose from the dead, death has no hold over us. We will never be separated from the love of God made known in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus being raised from the dead means we are set free to love. Through resurrection, we are brought out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. The power of those very human impulses lying within us, the power of greed, of envy, of malice, despair, hopelessness, all those things have no hold over us. Through the risen Christ, we die to those and we rise to the divine life of God. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we are set free to return love for hate, hope for despair, and joy for sorrow. And so resurrection is not a feeling, it's not a moment, it's not just this day. It is our way of life. It is our call to conversion of spirit and heart. In the risen Jesus, we are set free from the powers of this world. And our call as followers of Jesus is to undertake this work confident of God's love. We are to go forth loving all people as Christ loves us. And so this Easter morning, in the place of death, we are offered a new beginning. God has given us the unearned gift of life free from the power of evil, sin, and death. In the resurrection of Jesus, we are free to choose love above all other things. May we do so at all times, in all places. May we always love as Jesus loves us. And so today's gospel is not complete, but I don't think it's a sad letdown from what we hope to hear this morning. Rather, I think today's gospel is ours. It is our story to conclude. It is ours to live. It's for us to decide, how does it continue? Where does it end? Will we rejoice that Jesus is risen from the dead and tell others the good news? Will we share the miraculous news that Jesus destroyed sin and death, and now we are set free to love? How will Easter be written in our lives? Will we accept the gift of resurrection, of the new life that we are called to share? Will we proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection so that others know the eternal life that is promised us? Like those women, let us set out for Galilee. Galilee being that place where we dwell, that ordinary place we live our daily lives. Let us set out journeying on the road that God has called us to walk. And while we're walking, may we always do so in Jesus' way of love, going where he leads. And along the way, we should expect to see the risen Jesus present with us. Present with us, offering strength and hope for the journey. And with those we encounter on the road, let us tell others the good news. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Thanks be to God, Christ has been raised from the dead. Through his death and resurrection, we are set free to walk in love as Christ loves us. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.